listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Incomparable, the
incomparable.
Irreplaceable.
That is
the
not true.
Goddamn handsome man.
I woke up this morning.
You look like you woke up this morning.
And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was just like, "What the hell happened?"
But did you ever have a high moment?
I look like I had a bender. And I'm not talking the beer. I'm talking the event.
You actually ate the person from Futurama, and that's what you look like afterwards. Just strung out.
I do. I need to shave.
You're a mess.
My hair. I'm a mess. There's no other explanation.
Now, is the girlfriend still gone?
No, she came back on Friday night.
Okay,
that's tasty.
So you have no excuse.
Not a damn one.
So you didn't get all gussied up and purdied up for her?
No, it would have been a wasted effort anyway because
really?
She doesn't find me attractive physically anymore. No, that's not the case. But no,
I don't blame her at that point.
No, that's true. But no, there's nothing harder to impress than a woman who had to drive up from Des Moines with her coworkers.
Yeah.
At that point, she just wants to go home. It's like, I don't care. I could have been on fire, and I don't think she would have paid attention.
But you could have gotten the haircuts. You could have gotten your nails did.
I don't think it would have mattered.
No?
I really don't think it would have mattered.
That's a shame.
And I'm not saying my fiance is a horrible person. It's just
I'll say that. She's a horrible person.
She worked a full, 10-hour day and then drove from Des Moines to Minneapolis.
Man up.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
Anyway. Why are you single again?
So many reasons.
Not least of what you're ordering today. Yeah. We'll discuss that.
We are at Stanley's Barroom, which is a brand new establishment here in... brand new establishment here in beautiful Northeast Minneapolis.
It is.
Northeast as we
lovingly refer to
exactly.
It. Exactly. It's literally about 4 blocks from my house.
If not, we actually... I rode piggyback on your back.
Which also explains why I sound so tired.
Right. To get us here because, you know, we're all about staying green.
Saving the planet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're about being green here. So, Stanley's Barroom used to be another place, but...
Used to be Stashu's...
Bar.
Something like that. Stashu's Hall. That's what it was.
So,
but it had been closed for a long time, and then there's some machinations going on with the family, because Stashu's is kind of a Northeast family.
Yep.
And they sold it. You know, Grandpappy Stashu died, and the kids fought over, and they sold it to Stanley. Who very quickly, it was like a month and a half, maybe 2 months.
In a hurry.
Completely renovated it, repainted it, rebranded it.
Landscaping.
Yep. So we wanted to stay away from here for a while for a couple reasons. One, we talked about the show. It's never good to do a place like this in the very, very early days.
Right. Because it never ends.
Must we bring up the Burger Jones incident?
No, I really shouldn't.
Ironically, though, I was thinking about this. The Burger Jones episode, the one that we almost universally panned.
I still have not gone back there.
I know. But I've gone back several times. I enjoy it. You know, it's nothing, you know, fantastic, but it's enjoyable.
Right.
Anyway, that is the show. That episode is the show where we stopped doing kind of the more new stuff. I mean, we kind of did it a little bit afterward.
We didn't do. We stopped doing social commentary.
I wouldn't say that, but we stopped bringing news stories to the show.
Yeah.
It became less of a news show, more of a food show.
Yeah.
And it all happened because we both forgot to bring stories one week.
And the food was that terrible that we had to talk about it.
Well, we had nothing else to talk about.
Right.
And so it was. But the show is what it is today, partially because of that episode,
right,
which I found kind of interesting because it's almost. It's the closest we've come to just not liking a place.
Right.
There hasn't been a lot of places like that. Anyway, so they've renovated this, reopened like 2 weeks ago, if that. And we're here. And I have to try this because I'm intrigued by it.
Now, they already have a website up and running.
Uh-huh.
And if you go to their website and join their e-club, you get a free appetizer, a coupon for a free appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
Or appetizer.
No, no one says appetizer.
I know.
No one should say appetizer.
No, they really shouldn't. But we got our free appetizer.
It's like a donut.
We got our free appetizer.
Yep.
And we went with the battered onion rings. They're battered in something.
They're battered in Grain Belt.
Okay.
Fine Northeast beer.
Right. And then it comes with a little beer mustard, which I guess
looks more beer than mustard.
That's what I was thinking, is that it's very thin. I mean, it still sticks to the mustard seed,
but barely.
But barely, exactly. It still sticks to the ring. But it's I don't know. What are your impressions so far?
Let's see. The mustard itself is fine. I mean, it's a little watery for my taste, but, whatever.
There's something very off with the beer batter.
Mm-hmm.
Very off. I can't put my finger on it. It's like it's soft where it's supposed to be crispy, and it's crispy where it's supposed to be soft type of deal.
The last time I saw a batter like this, it was another beer batter, but it was a Guinness beer batter.
Right.
I would expect the beer to be a darker beer that they did this in.
Well,
yeah.
When I make a beer, when I use beer batter at home, it's been light and airy. I mean, crisps up really well. And it's not as cakey.
Yeah, this is very cakey dough.
And it's almost, it's not, it's off-putting to a point, but it's not inedible. It needs some more.
Need salt?
Yeah.
And I don't taste any onion.
Yeah, there's something is very wrong. What that is, we're not entirely sure, but it seems to have missed the mark a bit.
I hate to start the show like this, but I gotta say I'm a little unimpressed.
It's not good.
No. However, what is good are beers. At least my beer.
Mine's weird.
We'll talk about yours in a second. I got something. I'm a big Newcastle man.
Nuki Brew, as it's known.
I've never heard that before, but all
right. What a frequent guest of the show is called on occasion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, but I'd never seen the Newcastle Exhibition Ale. It's a lighter beer. It's a pale ale, but it's not an IPA, so it's actually drinkable, which is nice.
You don't need a spoon.
You don't need a spoon. You don't need, some sort of decontaminant afterward.
Right.
I'm really digging this. And what's exciting about this place is that they have a huge list of beers on tap.
They have
I've never heard of.
Truffle beers. It's quite incredible though, the actual sheer size of their, for the size of the place and the amount of beers that they have is quite.
That
quite
isn't like a brew pub.
Exactly. Even though I think that this is kind of what they're aiming for, a loose,
more of a gastro pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The food needs to get better, hopefully, or at least God knows we ordered a few different things here.
Yeah.
So
a wide variety.
Yeah. I got a.
Called
the onion rings.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
I would just like to point out We just had a documented case of Minnesota Nice there.
Well, you didn't even... That was more negative than I think we've ever been to a...
True, but we still weren't like... I mean, considering we were just basically shitting on them, right. like 30 seconds ago.
Right. Going back to my beer, I got the Purple Haze, which is a...
All up in your brain?
What?
Isn't that the next line in that song?
Purple Haze?
Maybe not the all up in my brain, no, but something... Purple. There's in my brain is the, like, part of the next line.
By whom?
Jimi Hendrix.
Are you sure? You got the
lyrics? I will look up fucking lyrics right now. But anyway, you talk about your stupid ass beer.
It's a wheat beer, so it's kind of got that nice cloudiness to it. It's unfiltered. And they add a raspberry puree after the filtration.
I love that song.
Raspberry puree.
Yeah.
Took me a minute.
Which is funny because you're a much bigger Prince guy.
I know. I caught it. And what the raspberry do is raspberry do. Wow.
Tell me what the raspberry do.
The raspberry do.
I'm thinking by the end of this, we can just turn the whole show into lyrics.
Pretty much.
It's starting to sound that way.
It's the kind you find in a secondhand store, is what it is. No? Okay. No, it gives it a slight purple color. That's a purple hue, I would call it. And they have these purple wraps around the napkins and whatnot to kind of hold everything together.
Yeah,
if you hold the two close to each other, you can kind of see a little
bit. I'm still not seeing it.
Well, you're colorblind, so yeah, I can expect
it. I'm not colorblind.
Well, you're an idiot.
That I won't argue with.
Okay, then. There we go. But it tastes like a regular wheat beer, like a Blue Moon. But then you've just got this ever so slight raspberry flavor to it, and not overpowering, so because raspberries can be extremely harsh.
Yes, hence the rasp.
Right. Especially harsh. This is just this mellow kind of flavor at the very end.
Well, what's interesting with wheat beers, and you know, you brought up Blue Moon, that's kind of the example that a lot of people know of a wheat, I guess what you could call a traditional wheat beer.
Right.
A lot of times they'll put an orange slice in it.
Yeah.
So there's precedent for kind of including a fruit flavor with wheat. Now, in this case, they didn't fruit it, or at least they didn't add fruit to it. But with the raspberry,
they pre-fruited it.
They pre-fruited it.
Right.
That's hard to say.
We made that a lot more difficult than it really needs to be.
Yeah, that's kind of the theme of the show, though. This is the slowest damn website ever.
Well, we're in a dead zone.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
I'm right about the Jimi Hendrix.
I'm sure you are.
So far, the verdict, onion ring's no good.
Right.
Beer good.
Onion ring bad.
Yes.
Fire bad.
Fire bad.
You chunk. No. I never watched the Goonies. So.
You almost called them the Little Goonies, didn't
Actually,
you?
Actually, I did. What kind of little
rascals? I feel like I should.
Little
rascals, Goonies. I think I should revoke your Generation Y card.
It's an interchangeable movies. They both were no good. First off, the Goonies was on this weekend, and I couldn't even watch it for like more than 5 seconds.
It's because your body is rejecting the goodness. It's like if I gave you a liver.
What is good about
it? It's like if I gave you a liver, it would actually shoot out your navel.
What is it? Give me one redeeming.
Yes, that's how I think organ rejection works.
Redeeming. Give me one redeeming quality of the Goonies.
He had Feldman in his prime.
That statement is invalid because he never had a perm.
Lies. You had Sam Gamgee in it. You had the hot chick from Lucas, whose name I can't remember right now. But still is looking good. They had a Goonies reunion like 2 years ago.
That's just sad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got cat food.
I think we're good.
I don't think they sell that at regular restaurants.
Oops, Daisy.
Man. All right. So, oh, by the way, we'll keep it.
Thanks.
So the lyrics to Purple Haze are as follows.
You gonna prove me wrong here?
Purple Haze, all in my brain. See? lately things just don't seem the same. Acting funny, but I don't know why. Excuse me. While I
kiss this guy.
Exactly. So I was right once again. And because I win, I decree that you have to eat olives.
I will make it so.
All right.
Those are really hot. I'm not eating those yet. So the food has come, and I went close to the all appetizer route. And for like,
you went with the close non-food route.
Well,
because I see cat food. I see some sort of applesauce, like frozen applesauce.
It looks like an icy.
It does. It looks like a cola icy or a beer icy. And you got some sort of Rocky Mountain oysters over in the other one. The pickles are very good, though.
This is a cucumber.
What's the difference? It's a pickled cucumber.
Mine's not pickled at all.
Oh, really?
If you're going to take one of mine, I'm taking one of yours.
You got cucumbers. You got Rob.
Yeah, you did.
Those damn good pickles.
They're okay.
I like them.
So, I went the route of an all appetizer route. I got...
And yet none of it is appetizing.
Right, this is true. They have a small plates menu, which is $3 to $5 per plate. They have a crispy sausage stuffed olive, which I got. They look like little deer pellets.
They do.
And then the cat food he's referring to is the liver and onions, which I've got, which is... I guess to read their description.
A creamy chicken liver pate and onion marmalade. So it's kind of a fancy liver and onions.
Yeah. Reimagined, if you will.
Reimagined, yes.
Alright, so I'm down in one of these olives here.
There are a few foods that I just won't do. And olives is one of them. So I cannot imagine eating those.
Well, there's a reason why they come in such small amounts. Because there's only 5 olives to this order. One, they're green olives, which I expected.
Yeah.
So they're incredibly salty, so you can only eat so many.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to have a whole plate full of green olives. That's not going to be prudent. But it's got good taste, and the batter works. What looks to be the same batter on this as what was on the onion rings works better on this. It's thinner. It's got a better fry on it, and then you get this little meat pocket inside the salty olive. So it actually works pretty well. You, on the other hand.
Yep. Excuse me.
Are playing the role of Burger Justice. Judge Burger?
That sounds like a really lame, like, Texas Ranger spinoff.
or great
Burger comic Justice.
Book. Great comic book, as far as I'm concerned.
Uh-huh.
So, months ago, we went to Vincent's.
Yes.
It was winter, wasn't it?
It was winter, yes.
We went to Vincent's on Nicollet Avenue, downtown Minneapolis, and... because this is the only time we can actually afford to go there, ate off their bar menu.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a large rift between the two of us. It nearly broke up the band.
Only because you're a pansy.
Not a pansy.
Yeah.
Just my extreme jealousy. Nothing to do with me being a pansy, just my extreme jealousy.
Yes, I had the Vincent Burger there, which is one of their signature dishes. Especially since it's a French place, you don't expect burgers. They have this burger called the Vincent Burger. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about it is meat stuffed within meat. And then cheese. We talk a lot about Juicy Lucy's on this show, which is the burger patty with the cheese on the inside.
Quintessential Minnesota.
Yes. This is one upset by adding, in their case, it's actually braised short ribs.
Right.
I'm assuming just the meat. of the short ribs.
No, you got bone in there.
Very, very, very chunky burger. And then a cheese, which I think was a Gouda.
You wouldn't have eaten it had it had the rib in there.
Very true. Here at Stanley's, they have a variation on it. Instead of the braised short ribs, they actually have brisket in it as well, and the Gouda.
You get the onions in there too?
It comes with caramel. It's not in it. It's just, there's a pile of caramelized onions on there. And then you get the tomato and the lettuce, of course, on it as well. Now, having had both of them.
Yep.
I will say, between the two, Vincent's is better.
Okay.
For a simple reason. This, to me, the Stanley's burger, the Stanley burger, tastes like a really good, high-quality, basic burger. Okay. I don't get as much of the cheese taste. I don't really get much of the brisket difference in there. It's very good. I guess it needs a little more. Maybe it just doesn't have enough cheese for me. I think they could have put a little more cheese in there.
It looks completely absent of the cheese.
Yeah.
Unless you have it. Unless you're about to hit a pocket of Gouda.
Maybe. I don't know.
One big pocket of Gouda that blew your mind.
Might. It very well could. But in the stuffed burger category, Vincent's will still win.
Okay.
You know, because Vincent's was almost a transcendent experience. Because it was like the Juicy Lucy concept but taken to this other level. You know what I mean? It was college football to pro football, kind of the shift there.
Okay.
This is a very competent burger. Very, very, it's very tasty, very juicy. It's got a lot of good things going for it, but I think it's just a little slightly more pedestrian, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense to me.
But it is very good. I got the hand-cut fries. Which, again, one thing I'm noticing with some of this place, in their fried items, it seems like they fried a little longer than they should.
And they're not double frying it, they're just frying it too long?
I think so. I don't know that for a fact, but just with the fries and then the onion rings before that, it just seemed like they're leaving it in a little too long.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means exactly. But how's your cat food?
It's okay. It. Okay, it's not very good all around.
Really.
I've had liver and onions on the show a couple times. Crossroads Delicatessen. I think I had some at Mort's, maybe. I seem to remember having it somewhere else. But I've had it more than once. This is a really bad version of it.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of flavor. It comes with this onion relish. Is that what they're calling it?
Or onion marmalade.
Onion marmalade. It's too sweet for the saltiness of, or I should say the blandness of the liver and onions. Liver and onions should be salty, should be rich, it should be creamy, it should be like liver pudding, essentially. You know, say that same consistency. This is too airy, too light.
It looks more like a mousse.
It's too moussey, exactly. It has the consistency of a chocolate mousse. When you really want something that's closer to like that pork briquette we had at the Craftsman, which is much more of a pasty, you know, a little bit, I wouldn't say drier, but definitely
like a meat salad style, like
pasty,
a tuna salad.
But pasty,
kinda,
you know. Yeah, close to that. Now, you don't want to have huge chunks. You still want it blended like this.
Yeah.
But you don't want it to the point where
It's not Liver Farm.
It's not Liver Farm. So they completely missed the mark on that. I have no onion flavor. It needs more salt. And like I said, the onion marmalade is pretty bad.
I wonder if it's just a question of the onions. Because I noticed with the onion rings, it looked like they were using yellow onions. Which you don't normally see in an onion ring. You normally see
a white onion.
I suggest
you to try this.
Oh, I'll try it.
Just on a fork. Or,
I'll try it unabashed here. Because I am a huge...
It's just... way too much sugar.
That is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I can see an application where that would be good.
Not on this one.
Yeah. It's more of a... It's almost like onions fried in honey. It's got a honey consistency to it. It's just, like I said, I could think of things that would be good in.
But not with this.
On a sandwich spread.
And I now know why they included the cucumbers in there. Because it acts as almost like a palate cleanser.
Uh-huh.
Now I can see, the first time I tried the whole shoot match altogether, I tried the liver on the cucumber, and that was fine, but this is the better application to get the taste out of your mouth.
Wow.
Not good. I'm gonna go back for a second so I leave no behind.
Well, I'm kind of tempted because I already blew through my burger.
Yeah.
And I think for what I got.
Yeah.
I think the $12 was a little much.
Okay.
Like I said, it was good. I don't want to dissuade people from it. But if you're going into it expecting some sort of upper level burger, it's not there. You know, it's a solid B+ burger. You know. And it's one of those where it's like, there's a lot on here that is interesting. You've got, I mean, this is the first time I've seen spiced cashews on a menu. They have a smoked barbecue brisket sliders, which could be good.
That could be very good.
I'm actually tempted. I'm actually still a little hungry.
Go for it.
And I'm willing to bet you are too.
Actually, this is probably going to ruin a lot of my appetite.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's what I can kind of see with this place, and it's amusing that my first thought was this is the kind of place that a guy who bombed out about halfway through the next Iron Chef, this is the kind of place he would own it. In that it strikes me, they're trying to do, it's called Stanley's Northeast Bar Room. So it's got that kind of Northeast working class kind of thing. But at the same time, they're trying to do fancy things with it. So, all of these are kind of somewhat fancier or high-end applications of bar food or, classic kind of, working class food, liver and onions, burgers, things like that. And they're just trying to kind of raise the game a little bit. But what's interesting to me is that it seems like they're not. It's just not connecting. It's like they haven't quite figured out how to mesh that kind of high end with the. I keep using working class, but I can't think of a better term for it. It's not quite comfort food.
You're on the right. You're on the right track.
Yeah. No. So,
wow.
I can see, it's just little things in here, like they've got a beet salad, okay? You're not going to see that in a bar.
No.
They've got a Guinness chili, which again is that kind of doing a little more, not fancy, but just a little more foodie variation.
Then you go with something that's like the wedge salad that's on there too, which is a very old salad. That's you order steak and a baked potato, you get the wedge salad that comes along with it. that's the, I can see that where they're trying to bring in familiar flavors. Unfortunately, I think you have to get the execution right the first time. You have to be able to execute the basic flavors.
Do you think it's an execution thing or just a recipe thing?
I think it's six of one half dozen of the other.
Right.
I think that.
Whoa.
I think that everything that I had could have been done better.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the thing I liked the most was the cheapest thing on the menu.
Besides the beer.
That's the beer.
Which they had nothing to do with, really.
Right.
You know what this place reminds me of?
What's that?
It's like they're trying to be the Herkimer.
I think that is exactly what they're trying to do. That you couldn't have been more right on. It is the Northeast Herkimer. Without their own beer, you know, without brewing their own beer.
Yeah. But beyond that, I mean, the ambiance is similar. The kind of, that mix of you know, slightly... I don't want to say improved, but slightly elevated
bar food. But I've been to the Herkimer a dozen times.
Uh-huh.
I never had anything bad there.
No, I agree with you. That's what I said. I think it's trying to be the Herkimer. I don't think it's quite there yet.
Yeah, what I had was really off base. It was really off.
That's disappointing. Now, I want to bring up something that you talked about before we started here, and that was you were complaining, as you do, you were kvetching, I think is really the phrase that your people use.
That's what I was like, and there it is.
About how a lot of sandwiches on here, they don't do that on the burgers, which is interesting, but a lot of the other sandwiches, the chicken sandwiches, they've got a walleye sandwich. With that same batter that the onion rings have, so I don't know how I feel about that, but that a lot of the stuff is served on ciabatta,
right?
And you snuffled a little bit. You did not. You scoffed at the ciabatta.
I think it shows two things.
Okay.
First off, it shows that A, they found something that they found a product that they like.
Like a supplier.
A supplier that
yep.
they like.
Yep.
Because it's very obvious just off the size of the kitchen, they're not making their own bread. They're not.
No.
The second thing it shows is that they are probably on a very, running a tight ship at this point.
Yeah.
Meaning that they can buy a lot of the same and use it in multiple applications.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think that hurts a lot of the creativity that can come out of the kitchen. You have to be willing to, even if it's more than one. I mean, they're effectively using two different breads at this point.
Yep.
They're just using a regular bun, like what you had
yep.
on your burger, and then the ciabatta on every other sandwich.
And then what? I think it's a French that you probably got cut up.
Oh yeah, but I mean, it's a French baguette. They probably go through a baguette a day because it's not going to be a whole lot of people just ordering this off the.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, it's just not that popular. You know, people see liver and onions on the menu and ultimately turn up their nose.
Yeah.
Now, in reading the menu, it says it's supposed to be a chicken liver pate. This doesn't even come close to any... This is not a pate at all. I've had pate. I've had good pate. This is terrible pate, if that's what they're going to call it. It's closer to traditional liver, chopped liver and onions at that point. So... if they're calling this pate, they probably should talk to a French chef. It's terrible.
Wow. He says as he takes a bite.
I'm hungry. Notice I didn't put any more of that onion marmalade on there.
See, I like the marmalade. But I'm not just going to eat it like a
freaking... Why not?
No.
Go for it.
I love onions, but goddamn. But again, I can see that being good on something.
Right.
You know, like I said, I think that'd be a great sandwich spread.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you had like a nice, like a roast beef or some sort of, you know, kind of smoky, nothing too sweet. You wouldn't want to put that on a ham or even like a turkey. It would be, I think it would be too sweet, but nice, good, dark meat. talk. So there's a guy. I want to talk about Kid Rock for a second.
This is a hell of a transition wherever you're going.
No, I was thinking about this, and I give Kid Rock a lot of credit, which is the only time you're ever going to hear that sentence. But he has... I have a weird soft spot for Southern Rock.
Oh, I do too.
Okay.
38 Special. Here's a little known fact. I own every single album that Lynyrd Skynyrd has ever put out.
Wow.
Including the three disc greatest hits.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think you listen to a song like this, or you listen to any of his newer stuff, and then you listen to Bawa Taba, and just be like, how? How did that happen?
Yeah.
And
he wore a green glitter suit in that video.
He did.
Top hat.
Yeah.
You're a midget for crying out loud.
I know. And it was just, I'm fascinated when a musical artist can make that kind of fairly big shift and be successful. Because really, who else has done that?
No one. No one.
You know, and more often than not, it's terrible. My first thought would be like Everlast.
I saw Everlast in concert. He was actually pretty good.
He is fine, but I'm talking successful. I'm not talking quality. I'm talking monetarily successful.
Success.
I suppose, but I still prefer a House of Pain reunion, but...
Agreed. They actually did have a reunion.
Did they?
Yeah, they reformed as a group called La Cosa Nostra.
Oh God, I remember that. Yeah, I remember you said. I remember that. Yeah.
I'm a bastion of white rapper knowledge.
Apparently,
come on. Vanilla Ice has his own show on the DIY Network.
I heard about that.
Are you kidding me?
My all-time favorite white rap moment was I think it was in like a Sam Goody, so this should tell you like how long ago this was.
Yeah.
I was in a Sam Goody and I was just flipping through, just killing time. I was in a mall, just killing time. And I stumbled across Snow's Greatest Hits.
Oh, and why?
And I remember thinking to myself,
Snow came up at work.
He had more than one?
This is weird. Exactly.
Like, was it a single? Like, was it a.
We had different versions of Informer. This is the Rap Rock remix.
That's the thing. I liked Informer.
Really?
I did. As a Jamaican rap, or as a Jamaican essentially dancehall record, you could do a lot worse. The problem is a lot of dancehall is terrible. And dancehall music is, at least until maybe a few years ago, is very much an acquired taste. And then they had the whole, you had Shaggy and Sean Paul, and they were bringing the dance on. Then you had, can't I think of it? It's Latin dance hall. Oh my God.
Reggaeton.
Reggaeton, that's right. You had that kind of go through, and they got super popular for like that's 6 months.
Yeah. Like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Are you guys finished with your plates?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know where I was going with this. I was just thinking about that. I was just like, you know.
We went for Kid. The hell is Kid Rock still successful?
He found his niche, and I think he's better at this kind of stuff than he ever was at the rap.
Agreed.
He was trying to play on the Eminem white trash rap. At the time, and it wasn't working. Like I love Bawa Taba. I hate to admit that, but I do.
Hey guys, Brisket Sliders.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
I'll let you try it first.
Right. Can you let me jump on that grenade?
Well, I'm not exactly.
That is really hot. Yeah.
I'm a little suspect.
You don't trust the place.
Anymore. I don't trust the place. I lost the trust.
So we ended up getting the barbecue. God damn, those are hot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let them sit for a bit.
No, I'm but I'm right there with you with the love of the Southern rock.
And I have no reason to.
No, not at all. But it's a,
I have no Southern blood in me at all.
But I completely sell out when Freebird comes on the radio.
Oh, just crank that. You know what, 7 minutes
and 50 seconds of pure, unadulterated
musical
joy.
I forget what the name of the song is, but just any of those songs. See, I have...
Give me back your bullet, my bullets.
I don't think I know that song.
Oh, you'd love that song. It's about fighting the man.
Oh, I assume.
Oh, it's good.
But...
Give me 3 steps.
That one I like. I like that song. But... I have a few rules with music.
Yeah.
And that have... It is a taste I discovered very young, and it has seen me through many years.
Yeah.
You add one of 3 things into a band, and I'm there.
Okay. A beard?
Not a beard.
A belt buckle.
A piano.
Okay.
Right, and I'm talking like a straight up piano, not like an electric organ. I'm talking like an acoustic piano.
Yeah, not a
harpsichord if you can pull it off.
Not a grand piano, not like a baby grand piano.
I don't mind a baby grand piano.
But I think for what you're going for, it needs to be the stand up.
The stand up saloon.
Exactly.
Piano, that's nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of a sucker. God help me. Whatever that song was about, Have to Save a Life.
The Fray?
Yeah. I kind of dug that song briefly.
Well, the Well-Fed Guide to Life has been brought to you.
No, I'm a sucker for piano. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for odd instruments. So the piano, any sort of string instrument that's not the guitar.
So
or
like it's the guitar where you're sitting down. The
steel guitar?
The steel guitar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more violins, cellos, any shit like that.
Would you settle for like a fiddle?
Fiddle's awesome.
Okay.
Fiddle's awesome.
I'm trying to see. I'm trying to figure out the fiddle. Where the Southern rock comes in. The fiddle is the only thing that was coming to mind.
Well, but you also got piano.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
You know, the Ron Jeremy looking guy from Lynyrd Skynyrd. He was the piano player.
That's true.
And then the third one, which should be no shock to anyone, is horns. Any sort of horns, I'm in.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's seen me through many shitty, shitty bands.
Yeah.
That was my biggest disappointment with, you remember the band Yellow Card?
Yes, they were terrible.
They were terrible. Absolutely. But in addition to my somewhat shameful love of Southern rock, I also have a bit of a soft spot for Southern California pop punk. And I think if you would have done that well with a good violin part, because here's the problem.
I'm waiting for you to start to give me the riot act about Everclear.
No, Everclear's not pop punk.
No, but they're
not.
Southern California pop punk.
They're Southern California, but they're not pop punk.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're alternative
totally
pop. They're not pop punk.
Yeah, they are.
No, you're full of shit. I will get 5 radio professional DJs to come on the show to tell you how wrong you are. Regardless.
Rancid's terrible.
We're not talking about Rancid, we're talking about
Southern California pop punk.
Yeah. What's wrong with Rancid?
They're not good.
Anyway. So I in my head, Yellow Card should have been awesome. But it was terrible. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact you could not hear the violin part.
Yeah.
He could have been playing a completely different song, and no one would have known. That's what bugged me about that. So if you ever wanted to know what bothered me about Yellow Card, there you have it, right there. I know it was big on the...
We also know what the title of this week's show is going to be.
What was wrong with Yellow Card?
Oh God, Skynyrd. This is funny that you bring this up because VH1 has been rerunning the 100 most influential artists of all time.
Okay.
And Lynyrd Skynyrd was in like the top 25, which I completely agree with. And they had the lead singer of Slipknot on there. Yeah, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah,
try it by.
Okay.
Try a bite.
They had the lead singer of Slipknot on there. He's like, you know what? I don't play their type of music, but I completely sell out every time I hear the first few chords. And... Freebird just completely freaks out.
Try a bite.
Okay, I'm going.
Make sure you get a pickle in there. So we tried, as a final redemption, I tried these smoked barbecue brisket sliders. They do have the house pickles. I'm waiting for my compatriot to finish.
It's okay.
I agree with you.
It's barbecue sauce is too much salt at the end and too much sweet at the beginning. Yeah, it's not well balanced. The brisket is cooked well, which is a surprise.
Yep.
They do have brisket as a standalone on the menu, so definitely suggest that if that's the route you're gonna you would go here. But I did not like the barbecue sauce on it.
Really? I actually really like the barbecue sauce.
But the pickles are very good. But it's hard, again, it's pickles. It's very hard to screw it up.
Yeah, yes and no.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to say I'm impressed, but I'm enjoying these. I think I like these more than the burger.
Icebox pickles do not a restaurant make.
No.
But... yeah, I think it also, unfortunately, because it's on the slider, I have to mark it down just simply because it's a slider, and I think that I'm done with that fat. I'm done with that food fat.
Why?
I think every single place has it on the menu. It's not creative anymore. It's just a staple.
When were sliders creative?
No, they're trying to be creative.
No.
Hold on.
All right, fine. I'll
finish my thought. Just by adding a different meat to it, it's still the same concept. It's not showing me anything different, and I think that it shows no creativity. Even if what's inside it is good,
I don't know.
I think it's just too much of a standby.
To me, I think. To say that you're over the slider is you're over the sandwich. Let me finish. I let you finish your stupid thought. Let me finish my stupid thought.
Yeah, but I was right.
No, this is... Well, I don't think you're wrong. I just think you're putting too much on the slider. To me, the move towards sliders was more about having a sandwich in a smaller portion than... here's this kind of creative thing that we're doing. So I guess I never saw that.
I think that's what it started off as. I think when you first started seeing it on a lot of menus, it was, oh, we got this amazing slider on the menu with Wagyu beef or you know, free range salmon burger or something like that. See it on every menu.
See, I'm disagreeing with you.
It's starting to blend together to me.
Well, and that's fine, and I get that.
And I think it's menu filler.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's menu filler. I think if you're selling your menu short at that point. If you're trying to be creative, where you're having stuff like the liver and onions and the sausage stuffed meatball, or sausage stuffed olives, stuff like that on the menu.
Wait, sausage stuffed meatballs,
my brain exploded.
I kind of went half staff there. I'll admit. Yeah.
But if you're gonna try to do things like that, don't sell yourself short by putting something as pedestrian as a slider on there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. You can't have it both ways. You have to do something. If you're gonna market yourself as a gastropub, market yourself as a gastropub. If you're at a fine eating establishment, market yourself as that, but don't try to walk that fine line and just throw something on there as a menu filler. Now I'm done. Stepping down off my
ass. Yeah. I think it comes down to what the perceived intent is. I think you're thinking of it as a way to be creative and you know, show off a little bit.
Well, I think that's what your menu should be.
Well, no, I understand that. But I'm talking using a slider is somehow better in the mind of your fictional chef. Using a slider is better than doing a straight up sandwich. Okay. My point was, not only do you have the size issue, which is something that is going through the entire, you know, food industry, like how do we deal with portion size and all of this stuff. You know, the fact that you can have a slider that has, that's a little more experimental. So much of restaurants nowadays, you know, and the restaurants that we go to, like non-chain, independent places, so many of those restaurants have to walk that line of, we're going to be something that the foodies will like, and we're going to celebrate food, and we're going to celebrate, you know, whatever kind of style we're going for, but we also have to have something that will appeal to the suburbanites and to the soccer moms that are coming in. Yeah. And to me, a slider is a way to say, you want to try a Wagyu beef, or you want to try, you know, a free-range salmon, something, but you're a little scared of it. If it's just a little thing, that makes it a little more palatable. And I think they can be used. I'm not disagreeing with it, that I think they can be used as filler, and that they can be used to, that they're overused. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But to me, I think the reasons why we're seeing it more is not as cynical as how you think it is.
You think it comes off as cynical?
I think your thoughts.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I think Jack is fine.
Sure. Together,
please.
Can I get another water?
I think your impression that it is used to highlight more creativity than actually exists in the menu, I think that's a slightly cynical viewpoint. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's a cynical way of looking at it.
Well, that's what I. That's how.
That's what you. That's what you sell.
My MO.
So.
Should my. You look up cynicism in the dictionary. It's got a picture of me.
You know, it's kind of amusing. At the beginning of this show, well, then I'm gonna finish this thought, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay. Thank you.
At the beginning of the show, we highlighted
a half glass of water anyway.
Well, now you're just looking for reasons to bitch.
Well, come on. You have barely had a sip of your water, and I ordered more water, and yours is.
Well, they probably heard what you were saying about their pate. It's probably half spit, is that water?
I'm smelling for a reason.
Anyway, I think it's interesting that at the beginning of the show, we talked about the Burger Jones episode and how a restaurant that we didn't like ended up causing us in the long run to talk and to talk and theorize a little bit more about food, really think about food. And the exact same thing happened here.
The bad food stems good conversation.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, think of all the times when we've been to a place where we've just unequivocally loved it. Half the show is just like, oh my god, this is awesome.
Well, it's just sounds of us.
Exactly. Yeah, just two fat guys eating, which was the original title of the show.
Dead Man Eating.
No, that'll be when I get cancer. That'll be what we'll call that show after that. But I find that interesting, and I don't know what that means or what that signifies.
I think that bad food stems good conversation.
Oh.
It fosters more conversation. I think if it's fairly pedestrian and fairly boring, you know, I think we struggle a little bit more at that point. But when it's, you know, very different, you know, differing styles and approaches and takes on it, I think that fosters better conversation.
Well, there you go.
So, final verdicts. They need to have more things on the menu, like the sausage stuff, crispy green olives.
No, you like those.
I did like those.
Okay. You found something you liked.
I did. But they need to have more of that. You know, something that I can't go to any other bar in this area, or I mean, even in the Minneapolis St. Paul area, the only thing that's doing something kind of close to that, where it's small snacky type of stuff, is like Moto E.
Yeah.
And I think that if you go down that route, go full bore, go creative, do stuff like that.
Do more like the craftsman, where it's much more about the ingredients and.
But the craftsman's also being, you know, it's That's being fostered by a very careful chef. I don't know of any chef who's working here. You know, I think they're just cooks.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. And I think that that ultimately resulted in the rest of the food. The pate slash chopped liver and onions was poor. It's poorly executed. It was not good. Where it was, the things that were supposed to be sweet were too sweet. The things that were supposed to be salty did not have enough salt. That's two failures on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Mm.
The texture was off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
The texture was wrong. So I can't give it very high marks at that point. My beer, on the other hand, was extremely good. I would recommend that to anybody.
I would say that the highlight of this place is the beer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got shit I've never heard of, shit I've never seen on tap.
Yeah. They have something called Buffalo Sweat, which sounds awesome.
I have seen that before, but I've never tried it.
Yeah. The Buffalo Sweat is a stout with copious quantities of roasted barley used in the brewing process to create a rich, complex, and delicious beer. That's all I got.
I guess I would kind of echo your sentiments, just not quite to the degree. I think it was perfectly fine, but it wasn't anything super special.
Right.
I would probably come back here if someone was going, but I don't think I would. I don't think I'd get a craving for it.
No.
You know, it's just like, I gotta go do this.
No. It
just seems very
new
middle of the road.
New restaurant syndrome.
Yeah, yes and no.
A little bit?
A little bit. I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, because I think there might be some execution issues with the beer batter. I think especially, like, those onion rings are really disappointing.
Yeah. Hey, even doing really basic beer batter, and you know, throwing a little bit of like cayenne in there.
There was very, very bland.
Cakey.
Yeah.
It was like a beer wrapped in a crispy an onion wrapped in a crispy pancake.
Yeah. And not even a good onion.
No.
Don't use yellow onions. Here's a tip for you people at home.
Yeah.
If you're gonna make onion rings, don't use yellow onions.
Yep.
Yellows are the lame ones.
Yep.
You either use white or red.
Yep.
Preferably white.
Yep. Use white onions, and you don't use the ones towards the center.
You know what?
It never cooks the right way.
You know what I saw that was awesome, and I wish I could remember where I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
There were onion balls. They were like, take an onion ring, but two pearl onions.
That could work.
Oh.
That could work.
It was somewhere between here and Indianapolis, because I remember we went there years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was awesome. Because they almost had the consistency of...
You said you had a coupon, right?
Yeah.
I just realized that it never took that off.
Oh, okay.
Did you have the coupon?
Yeah, it's in my pocket. One of my pockets. Could have sworn I brought it. I'm going to have to stand up, aren't I? Oh, for God's sake, did I forget it?
I thought you folded it, put it in a pocket.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. I could have carried your purse in, but...
Shut up.
That would have looked a little
That would have been hard to do with the piggyback.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I should say, if you want to come here, if you sign up for the email list, they send you a coupon for a free appetizer with a drink order.
Yep.
So, that was what that whole hubbub was about.
Hubbub.
Okay. So, yeah. Well-Fed Guide to Life is brought to you by HopChart.com and is also now available on the Stitcher app. Just go on to your better smartphones and or computers. Check out Stitcher.com and you can get free app that it's instant streaming of the latest episodes. All of Fancy Pants Gangster shows, Well-Fed Guide is included with that, obviously. And it's instant free. You don't have to sync anything. It's all available immediately, so which is super cool. We're trying to get a lot of people on the Stitcher app because we think it's a really cool thing. So thank you. Excellent. All right. As always, we welcome comments in the show notes as well as in our forums. You can always email us at wellfedatfancymansgangsters.com. We've got a Twitter at WellFedGuideFPG and a Facebook at WellFedGuide. And we welcome comments and fans and followings and all of the various things you can do with that. We haven't done Foursquare yet. I think that might be our next kind of... our next excursion into the digital realm.
Social networking.
For a long time, I was struggling between Foursquare and Gowalla.
Yeah.
But Foursquare's got like 40 times the users, so...
Foursquare, for crying out loud, they had a badge for space.
Yeah.
That one guy has. Yeah. Who's from Minnesota?
Oh, is he from Minnesota? I didn't read the article.
Which is awesome.
Line. Yes. So, on behalf of Dave... thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a safe and happy Halloween.